Hello, Suns fans, and welcome to our second podcast. It's great to have you back. We're here today with the GM of comms, Steve Wilson.
Good afternoon, Kieran. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. And footballing legend who requires no introduction, Malcolm Blight.
But thank you for that no introduction, Kieran. And welcome, Stephen, as well. Good to see you again. This is a second of two.
Successful, by reports.
It was. It was a good first show. There's plenty of great feedback for the fans, so thanks to those who sent something through. It was a bit of a strange weekend. We didn't have any football on. What do you guys get up to?
Friday night, of course, we went to the Best and Fairest, which I guess right, I guess right, which probably a lot of people did, with Tommy, Jared, and also Jack Martin running third. So that was a good trifecta and well-deserved.
Tom really had a great season and capped off on Friday night and also Thursday night, I suppose, with the All-Australians, so all credit to him.
And what do you get up to on the weekend, Steve?
Pretty quiet this weekend. Saturday after the club champ was very quiet, in fact. What about you, Kieran?
Oh, I just had a lovely weekend down at Kingscliff. It was a great part of the world. You've probably been down there, Blighty.
I have been there a number of times. A lovely part of the world. You're quite right. But the other thing I did at 5:05 a.m. the morning after the Best and Fairest, I was up and at 'em under the golf tee at the beautiful Glades Golf Course playing golf. And I played terribly early. Can anyone understand why? It was just like a sleep, of course.
Very good. So last week we put it to the fans about the name of the show.
Oh, I'm excited by this. I haven't heard it. What is it?
It was very tight. We had over 100 votes. The UV index and the heat were both up there, but with 25% of the vote, our podcast name is The Shining Blight.
Oh, you're kidding. Look, do you only 25. What happened to the other 3,000 votes I put in there? Oh, come mate. On, you guys.
Is it the technology? Is it? Did you get it right on your phone?
No, I wouldn't even know what to do. Come on, I only talk.
Very popular name.
Oh, it was.
Yes, yes. How about that? Oh, good on them. Thanks for listening, everyone. Here we go again. What do you got for us, Kieran? Come on.
Rising star on Tuesday, obviously started the week. Our own Peter Wright was down there representing the club. He obviously had that, I think it was round 15, he got that nomination. Pretty stiff not to get a vote, I think, personally.
No, he got a vote. I saw it, didn't it? Michael Whiting, didn't he? Oh, that was the vote of the press people. Mm. So Michael, who does the AFL website for us, gave him a vote in his
he
top
He gave
five.
Him a vote. People, I think, that have been to a lot of footy games in Queensland probably voted for him.
Yeah.
Probably didn't deserve to win it, of course, but I think he had a very good year.
Yeah.
David Schwartz, I know on radio, tipped him as the Smokey to win it on Melbourne radio, but he's seen a few games, of course, for SEN, but I think he's a little bit stiff not to get a vote.
Darcy Moore at Collingwood's probably a comparable player, and he had a few votes on the day, so Peter Wright, 27 goals in 17 games, celebrating his 20th birthday today. Probably deserved one or two, but it is what it is.
Very good player anyway.
But the winner was a great thing for the academies, wasn't it, in Sydney? I mean, I know Eddie Maguire at Collingwood and a lot of other clubs in Melbourne are having a whinge about the academies, but I mean, to see him win it under that environment, to come from rugby union, Stephen, you know a fair bit about his history.
Yeah, grew up wanting to play for the Wallabies. So what a success that is for academies and for Queensland, New South Wales footy, the emerging markets, to have a player win the Rising Star Award. Best young player in the competition in any one given year. Outstanding result for him.
And the other thing I liked about him, watching him most of the year, is he can mark it. He's fearless in the air. I just love players that can mark. We would love someone like him in our team. And I think Jack Martin is that sort of player for us.
Yeah, you're right.
He'll play a final this weekend. Great achievement for a first-year player. Let's quickly look at this week's games. Firstly, obviously, that one, Sydney v GWS, big derby there. The Sydney Harbour Bridge was lit up this week. It's a great story for New South Wales footy. Malcolm, who do you think is going to win that one?
Yeah, look, the last time they played, actually, GWS overran them, which was quite surprising. ANZ Stadium, there's been a lot of talk about that. Should it have been at SCG? Look, I picked Swans at the start of the year. I haven't changed. They've had a few losses, as I said last week. But I don't know. I just think, look at their team. They've added some nice young players. They've got that beautiful blend of experience. And they've got Buddy. Tippett's now played his second or third game back. They have to be beaten, I reckon. Good luck to GWS. You know, it's fantastic what they've done. But I just think the Swans maybe have too much.
Steve, your thoughts?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I reckon the Giants will get them. I don't think there's much that phases the Giants. It's a big stage. I think they're just going to go out and have a real big crack. I think this might be the prelude to the grand final.
Wow. Pretty cool. Well done. That's it. Hey, listen, you know that we have chocolate, strawberry and vanilla in ice creams because we don't always agree on the same things and taste, do we?
Correct.
So right now, You're at Strawberry and I'm at Chocolate, so big deal. Let's get on with
Kieran's
it.
And Vanilla.
Yeah, and you're Vanilla.
So, obviously, and you're I'll sit on the draw. Fence.
You're sitting on the fence.
I'll sit on the
fence. Perfect fence sitter.
Tonight, actually, we've got a game Thursday night over in the West. West Coast Eagles versus the Western Bulldogs. The Bulldogs have made a few changes. They've brought five back. Who do you think is going to be...
five changes is not great. Although their form had dropped off, hadn't it? Stringer, the forward, now back in, is dropped off. The two injuries, a couple of other blokes back, had only a week or two off, so they shouldn't be affected. Five changes always worries me, particularly in Perth, particularly where the Eagles have lost one game in 133 years or something. Or it feels like it. They're hard to beat over there, aren't they? I don't know if the Eagles are a great team, but I think... just with all the machinations of the week, I think they'll probably get across the line.
Fremantle got over the Bulldogs over there in round 23. They probably needed to roll the dice, Luke Beveridge's men.
Yeah, look, you do. He'll learn from it, though. I mean, he'll learn from it. And if someone's half undone and they don't play well, he'll know that. Next year, he'll learn from that and never do it again.
Steve, do you think the Bulldogs are a chance?
Oh, I don't think so. Josh Kennedy up forward. I think he had a quiet game against the Dogs early in the year, but Marcus Adams played on him that night. He's not out there this week. I think Kennedy will really have a blinder.
Yes, the common medalist.
One of my favourite players too from the old Carlton days.
Yes, I can assure that. Not many players win common medals, do they? There's probably one in this room, really, that we've just got here now. Oh, sorry, who said that?
How many have a show?
Was it 100 goals, was it?
It was 100, yeah, just a lazy 100.
They just don't do it anymore,
no,
do they?
No, they don't do it. No, they can't do it.
Crowd run on?
No, it was a final, actually. It was against Hawthorn. Ironically, on that day, I kicked five and went to centre forward, which I did most of the year anyhow. But Dermot Brereton played his first game and kicked five ever in his first ever game, which was a final.
So you needed the finals to get there too? You couldn't do it in the home and away season?
No, because I'd actually missed 12 games throughout the year and I did it in 10, you know. It was just one of those, nearly 10 or something. I forget what it was. Get around, what's the next question? Come on.
Well, speaking of Hawthorn, they're up on Friday night, one of the great rivalries of modern day football. They'll face Geelong in a qualifying final.
Yeah, they will. You know when this started, this modern day rivalry?
You
in 1989.
Me.
The grand final and some of the finals we played that year.
What did you do?
I was coaching Geelong at the time, of course.
What was your message to one of your players?
Let's try and beat the Hawks. Mm. That would have been the first
Any
one.
And individuals?
Second, something's in the back of my mind there. I can't remember now. I think Brereton was involved in a bloke called Mark Yates. Sort of. I think they just ran across each other at one stage. But, you know, life moves on and Hawthorn won it. And it has been a great rivalry. And the weather sounds terrible, doesn't it? I mean, if you've read all the reports on it, it looks as though it's going to belt down forever. In fact, they might have to wear snowshoes instead of boots. I don't know. This is a 50-50 for me. I'll listen to you, Stephen. I want some wise thoughts.
Toss of the coin.
Yes.
Yeah, who knows when these two sides play, who's going to get over the line. It'll be a ripper, that's for sure.
Yeah, we haven't nominated him. Kieran, do we have to nominate for the people out there listening?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll go Hawthorn.
I'll go Geelong.
And I'll sit on the fence again.
Oh, perfect. Chocolate, splinters. Strawberry and vanilla again.
The last game of the first week of finals is Adelaide taking on North Melbourne over Adelaide Oval.
The Blight Cup, yes. That's a cup. I haven't had named after me yet.
Haven't you?
No. Okay. Well, Adelaide looking good, Nick. I know they lost their last game, but North Melbourne with those four players retiring, it just doesn't look easy for North, does it? They just had a poor second half of the year. And the Crows, other than that one game, have been terrific. So, I mean, I'd go for the home team again.
They've probably been hit by injuries, and we know what that's like a bit in North Melbourne, you'd have to think Adelaide would win.
Yeah.
Those four players you spoke about, do you think they have a future in the AFL next year?
I'd read today where Nick Dal Santo was sniffing around. I think Petrie will probably retire. I hope Boomer does. It's sad, but, you know, you've got to finish at some stage. Be a one-club player. The other bloke, Frido looks as though he'll finish, so maybe Dal Santo.
End of season trips for the other 10 clubs. A few of our boys are over in Las Vegas at the moment enjoying themselves and enjoying a bit of R&R. Malcolm, can you tell us about some of the trips you used to get up to back in the day and if they're sort of as big a deal as they are now?
Well, I could, but it's a bit like we're now in Broadbeach, aren't we, at the moment, just in the postcode of Broadbeach. We used to go to a place like Sanctuary Cove about a half an hour up the road. That's about all we could afford. But in the end, you know, we snuck away maybe to places like Tahiti and around the world and all that sort of stuff. But that was towards the end. It wasn't every year like these guys seem to go, don't they? In fact, they spend a fair bit of time talking about it, Stephen.
They do.
Yeah, good on
them. Something to look forward to,
yeah,
I suppose.
Something to look forward to, yeah, good on them. So we didn't, growing up, it was very much an interstate trip of modern times, the overseas trips.
Steve, any memorable trips that you can recall?
that I've been on, or that in past working with footballers that go on trips.
Oh, they're all, mate.
We just beat that out.
You can't tell those stories, Stephen.
It's not a favourite time of the year for media and comm staff, I don't think. But
Very good. Upcoming trade period. Obviously, there's a lot of talk circulating around our club at the moment, and rumours going around the media. Malcolm, where do you see the Suns needing a sort of a bit more depth? Is it in the midfield, or
Yes, Kieran, it will have to be. Now, you know, I'm not privy to it, and quite frankly, at the moment, there's still a lot of toing and froing. As you said, 10 clubs out of it. You can start to talk to their managers, but during the final series, I think you should respect the players and the managers. So if you're looking for someone now during the finals, these last eight teams, I think it's rude to be talking to anyone, but the other 10 teams are open slather, and I would suggest right now there are a lot of conversations going on. We do need some help in the midfield. You know, we're going to lose a couple, some injuries, all that sort of stuff. Just on that, you know what, I've thought about this long and hard, is that with Dion, Jager, and even David Swallow sort of not playing, they were the solution to our problem, but they also were the problem. When Gary lost his, the use of his shoulder a couple of years ago, and we were flying, you know, going really well, with all those boys playing, they had their chance to step up without Gary. Now, they were younger, and they didn't, right? Yep. For all sorts of reasons, they didn't. But, so what happened then was that they were going to be that, because they were the problem and couldn't do it, they needed still Gary help. They were the solution to our problem, and then they got wounded and injured. So the whole thing about those kids in the midfield, although not kids now, was that they were our solution but also our problem. It's quite bizarre when you think about it, Stephen.
It is. But that's the great thing about the trade period. There's actually a window now that you can go out, and if you don't think you've got them on your list, go out and recruit them. So, look, there'll be a lot of rumour and innuendo over the next 6 to 8 weeks. How much of that, as someone who's been involved in footy for a long time, is just paper talk, and how much of it's real?
Yeah, look, I always thought, you know, divide by two, whatever you hear. And sometimes if you hear something really bad, you know, multiply by two. You know what I mean? I just think that there's a lot of names thrown up, a lot of balls are thrown out there. And don't forget, there's another side to this, and it's called the manager. Now, the players go overseas and go on their holidays. The managers are actually talking all the time, and they're trying to get the best deal for their player, which is their job. So they'll actually float a lot of things. And they'll also float a lot of things to the people inside the media. So some of it comes from, a lot of it comes from internally, because the clubs really don't want to talk about it.
No.
You know what I mean? So generally it's not the clubs doing it. I can tell you this from experience. It's generally the managers trying to do a deal for their player.
Well, best practice for clubs is not to forecast everyone what your actually plans are.
Absolutely.
Might be out there to muddy the waters. That happens at times too. Yeah. But you really don't want to be forecasting to others what you're doing, which is probably hard for fans, Kieran, because I know we've got a few emails and responses during the week to the podcast about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this time of year, this trade period is still over 30 days away, so we can't really talk too much. But there are a couple of names that have been mentioned and sort of linked to the club and obviously moves away from where they are at the moment, and that's Hamish Hartlett from Port Adelaide and Michael Barlow from Fremantle. Blighty, do you think they can add something to the club?
I think Hartlett could. I mean, I've been reading, obviously read the Adelaide papers, I'll read all the footy papers, but you know, he's a vice captain of the club. To get him out of there, you're going to have to offer something, and you've got to give something up. So, once again, it's easy to go and say, look, let's go out and get him. But what are you going to have to do to give up? Do we have to give a first-round draft pick for that? Is he worth that? So that's that balancing act. It's very hard. I've seen Nat Fyfe was going to be mentioned with us.
That'd be nice, Malcolm.
That'd be okay, but he probably fits our mantra at the moment. He's bloody injured all the time. So how do you feel? No, get him away. Well, you don't need any more injuries. The fact that he can play, but I mean, hopefully he comes back. We love him all. But how would he get out? I mean, Pavlich is finished. They used to play him the grandstand. Mm. Now they can give the grandstand plus a bit more for Fyfe. So I think it will stay.
Would you trade 3 first-round draft picks for a player of Nat Fyfe's calibre?
No, not 3.
What would you trade?
I'd trade maybe 2.
Yep.
Yeah.
And hypothetical, obviously, what sort of players would you bring in if you were still in that area?
Right. I think we spoke about last week. I think we've got terrific spine. I think most people in football acknowledge, you know, we've got some good growth in there with, obviously, the champs, May and Lynch. We just need some help around that midfield. And I'd love a marking forward. You know that mid-sized player like a Gunston or someone like that? Just if you could get someone, just a clunk one now and again. Hard to match up on.
that's probably what they were looking for a little bit with Jeremy Howe last
year,
of course.
Yeah, good call.
And you know Scotty Clayton better than anyone. Yeah. What sort of would he be up to this time of the year? Because we know what he's like. He likes a deal. He likes to be involved. He'd be talking to managers, clubs.
Yeah, what he'll be trying to do is get 33 picks and then swap them for next year, the year after, and get another. And there'll be 3,000 points. You know, because all the trading now with the academies, it's quite complicated. It's made complicated, so all us poor plebs don't know what the bloody recruiters are talking about. Good on you, Scotty. Well done.
We've got a couple of questions from the fans that have been sent in for you, Blighty. Mm-hmm. Firstly, do you see any similarities between the Suns list of next year? Obviously a really young list, some up-and-comers, and those you took over at Geelong in 1988 and Adelaide in 1996. Both of those sides were in the bottom half of the ladder and you led them to grand finals the following year.
Yeah, beautiful question. I love it when it's about me, Stephen. No, I'm only joking. I've come to
learn that about you, Malcolm.
No. It's just when you get older, everyone starts to forget. Can I just say that those teams have won 8 games and 10 games. Now, we're a couple away from that or 4 away from that. And they did have a group of older players. You know, we've still got 4 or 5 less. However, you know, that mid-range groups now, they're going to be 24, isn't it? It's nearly going to burst its way through, you know, to be a really good team. So the short answer to that, if we can recruit well and stay away from a couple of injuries, of course, we can knock between 10, 14 wins. There's no doubt about it.
We don't know what our best team looks like, do we?
No, we haven't seen it for 2.5 years.
And obviously plenty to come out of the upcoming trade and exchange period and the draft as well. So we'll know in a few weeks' time what our list shapes up to be. The second question is about the culture at the club. Obviously, it's been spoken about a lot over the past 2 years or so. It's a really tight group with some great people. How much have you seen that develop?
Well, I didn't think there was much wrong with it, by the way. You know, I'd sort of been around 7 or 8 years, and I didn't think it was too bad, to be perfectly honest. Yes, there were some items and some individuals that needed tidying up. I think as a club, I think the club was pretty well run. We did have some headlines, like most football clubs, but even the old ones. I think what it is, as the major part of the group's got a bit older, they've realised now, this is for real, and we need to tighten a few things up. So I think that leadership group now, 23, 24, it was a natural occurrence anyhow. We've talked about it a lot. A lot of people have. I didn't think it was all that bad before, but it is shade better now.
I think when you look at it, when you have those misses, I suppose, from a cultural issue, and when you're down the bottom of the ladder or the bottom end, it's always magnified.
Yes.
You know, there were some issues that happened at the Premiers last year, late in the season, with their captain that sort of...
And the Collingwood boys, you know.
Yeah, looked over. But that's just, you know, sometimes you just have to stand up and cop it, and we did, and we owned it, and we've moved on, and we're seeing the dividends with Lynch and May and a lot of those younger guys now that are really owning it.
Yep. It's probably a bit of media build-up too. Obviously, there's talk at the moment of player retention and what issues we're having, but less than a handful of players have actually left the club over the 6 years.
Yeah, it's actually a good point, because when you look back at it, you know, we've obviously got the two this year, Jager and Dion, but really, Hickey, I think Scotty was keen to keep. Josh Caddy, they were keen to keep. And others, you know, really list management decisions that have been made. So there hasn't been a whole heap. When you compare us to the Giants, and obviously they've had a lot more players on their list, so a lot more higher picks and a lot harder to retain, I suppose, in their cap. So they've had to move a few around. But there hasn't been that many.
No, compared to. And I mean, if you say, what about Hawthorn? I mean, everyone wants to go there at the moment. But, you know, maybe in 2 years, they'll drop again. I mean,
it's a cycle.
It's a cycle of, like, 20 years ago, they were going to be gone. They were going to be merged with Melbourne. So those sorts of things happen in footy. But I think it's a really good question that somewhere down the track, the group that we've now got will determine their own destiny. And it's getting close.
We'll finish the Shining Blight show on a lighter-hearted note. When we walked into the Gold FM studios here, we spoke about some of the tunes that are on the radio at the moment. Malcolm, you said you've heard some new ones in the last 48 hours, and this might surprise some of our fans out there.
Big music buff.
But what are those tracks that you mentioned earlier that you're into at the moment?
Well, actually, you know, sometimes when I was talking to the players and flying around the country with them, and I don't know why, I love modern music. I mean, I love today's pop music. I don't like every tune. And I've loved always. And yesterday, only yesterday, I heard Sia, the lass that never shows her face on TV. She's got a song out called The Greatest, and she's got that young girl dancing for her again. So I got on the computer and had a look at that. So that's going to be a big hit, The Greatest. Good South Australian girl. And the other one, surprise me, Stephen. I can't believe, I'm not a great country western man, I'm not. There's some great songs come out of there. But Kenny Chesney, I do know of. He's done a duet with Pink, and it's called Set the World on Fire.
Do you want to give us a few bars?
set the world on fire. That's my view. But Malcolm One Note, I was cool at school. I can't sing.
Why is that? You actually told us a story last week that was quite interesting about your singing ability.
Yeah, Mrs. O'Grady, this is true for everyone out there. Mrs. O'Grady obviously passed away a long time ago, but she's my grade five teacher and the singing teacher. And we had a princess come to the school, and we used to be the school choir. Before the princess walked in, she said, "Malcolm, could you just mouth the words, please?" So I was obviously terrible at about 8 and 9 years of age, and I've got no better, but I do love music. So Pink and Kenny Chesney and Sia, two great songs on the radio at the moment.
Keep your ears out for those, Suns fans. It's been another great Shining Blight show. Malcolm, Stephen, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Kieran. You're a genius with those questions. I can't believe how good you are. Stephen, you were excellent again. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.